Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 267 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today is an oddments episode. We're getting caught up on odds and ends from around the homestead and all the little bits and bobs that don't warrant an episode all on their own, and sort of get you guys caught up on what I'm doing. So I have a little announcement to make, and that is that me and my family all have COVID, the dreaded Rona. We are all in various stages of suffering, with the exception of my daughter, who has somehow managed to avoid it. So I think that's down to the way that basically being a teenage girl, recently turned 16, she basically self-isolates all her life. She spends 99% of her time in her room, doesn't really want to interact with the rest of her family that much. She's an absolute delight to be around when she does pop her face out, but she does generally self-isolate in her room, and as a result, she's managed to avoid it. So she is still going to school, but the rest of us are all at home on self-isolation lockdown. The government kind of dictates that we all must stay at home for around 10 days. Now, I personally am over the worst of it. It did hit me like a flu, and, I did feel pretty rubbish for 3 or 4 days. It hit my wife a lot harder. She's still suffering. She's had a really bad cough, and, you know, none of us are ill in the sense of we're worried for our health, but we're ill in the sense of just having a little bit less energy and coughs and colds kinds of symptoms. So, like I say, my wife was quite bad. My two sons have each had it to varying degrees, but we're all on the better side of it now. We're getting better all the time. And yeah, it knocked, with the whole family being out of action, it knocked us all for six a little bit, you know, because there are still lots and lots of chores that need doing on a daily basis, whether it's looking after the animals or just general household cooking and cleaning or washing and things like that, which obviously still needs doing. So yeah, it has been a bit of a tricky period, but I've got, what are we in now, I've got 5 days left of self-isolation before I can go back to work. And I think that's the other side of it as well, is missing that time from work that had been scheduled in. It puts that little bit more pressure on me to, you know, get things done when I get back. So it's been, you know, it's been a bit tricky, and I'm really grateful that my daughter has avoided it, actually, because she's taking her GCSEs this year. She's got her mocks next week. So you know, it's really, I'm really grateful that she hasn't had to take these 2 weeks off of school as well. But, you know, managing work for all of us and symptoms and everything else, it's been a difficult week or two. But the, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're kind of getting back to normal. And I'm really looking forward, actually, now I'm feeling much better, to the next few days being really productive on, you know, things like making videos and recording a load of podcasts in advance and getting a bit caught up and ahead of myself. That'll be nice. The other thing that's happened here in the UK, and I know some other places as well, is the clocks have changed. Now, that means that the nights get earlier, the sun sets an hour earlier, and that is somewhere around 5 p.m. 4:30 to 5 p.m. It'll draw in a little bit more, and you know, by the depths of winter, it will be dark at 4:30. So it means that when I am working and I get home from work, you know, things are already dark or getting dark. We've had quite miserable weather as well, lots of rain and, you know, damp conditions and overcast conditions, which obviously don't help with the darkness. So it has been quite dark by the time I get home from work, and that makes things a bit of a struggle as well. And I'm sure I spoke to you guys about this at this time last year, but it really does make a difference when you're working as well. And it's something we all need to factor in two different ways, really. I think we need to factor it in insofar as planning our year and planning what we're expecting from ourselves at this time of year. But we also need to factor it in insofar as being gentle with ourselves and kind to ourselves when we're not getting quite as much done at this time of year, you know, accepting that that's not because we're lazy or whatever it might be. It's just the reality of life. And we have certainly, or I personally for sure, have started moving my projects into the kitchen, and I'm doing more in there. You know, I'm focusing more on things like preserving and working with little projects that I can do in the kitchen, like soap making and leathercraft and stuff like that. But more on that a little bit later on. But that's definitely where I am, where I've shifted. I'm more working inside now. And of course, you know, it's giving me the opportunity with this little bit of time off to utilize the daylight, because I can now be outside in my garden during the day and not feel like I should be at work, because I can't be at work. Just where we are, you know. So it does mean I've been able to harvest the last of our main season crops. We've had a couple of light frosts here, nothing really deep, but a couple of light frosts here. It's definitely seen an end to my courgette plants, my pumpkin plants and all those kinds of things. So those guys are finished and I'm really in a state of flux. It's a really odd position for me to be in, because here I am recording a podcast and making YouTube videos all about how you can be more self-sufficient. And at this time of year, I want to be talking about the things you can be planting for next year, the broad beans and onions and maybe, you know, garlic and things like that. And I want to be doing all those things. I want to be using this opportunity to prepare my vegetable bed and make it all ready for next year, maybe mulching, certainly weeding. And, you know, I like the idea of growing things all year round. But because we're moving house, I don't have a vegetable bed that I can do that with. And it feels a little bit hollow. It feels really, really difficult for me to be espousing these things when I can't practice them. I can only preach them. But also it feels like, you know, it's forcing me to become disconnected from my vegetable growing. And I do get that it's just a temporary thing. And it's just, it's really difficult. And of course, one solution would be to grow things in containers. But the amount of vegetables we grow here, it's just not practical to be moving all of those containers full of soil and seeds and seedlings in the spring for, you know, for the purpose of having that veg that we'd love to have. But it's just going to make the process of moving house that much more onerous. And, you know, we're not really looking to do that. So I think I'm going to do an episode actually on the idea of moving house when you're a homesteader at some point as well, because it's certainly something we're going to be getting some experience of and planning around it. So, you know, it's just it puts me in this state of limbo, and it's not one that I'm enjoying, and it is having an effect on me, and it's making me feel a little bit less cheerful and a little bit less happy, because there's so many things I'd love to be doing that I just can't. And, you know, couple that with the idea that we don't even know really where our vegetable patch is going to be next year. We're fairly confident as to where we're going to be moving. We're going to be moving into our own old home where we used to live, the house we own. And, you know, I'm very comfortable with that. But it's a much smaller home, so we're having to downsize a lot of things and work out what's going to go where. And, you know, it's a struggle. It's a real struggle. And we're going to have a vegetable garden. As the garden, you know, the whole garden basically is going to be a vegetable garden, because the other house is right opposite a big playing field with a park in the corner. So we don't have to worry about losing space for walking the dogs or things like that. And of course, the kids have got somewhere to run and kick a football. And truth be told, you know, they're not going to use that garden anyway, really. So it is going to be turned pretty much completely into a vegetable garden. And, you know, I'm quite comfortable and happy about that. But it's not necessarily the only place we're going to garden. You know, we'd like to get some additional land as well. And we just don't know. We just don't know where that's going to be and what that's going to look like yet. I've spoken a little bit before about the ideas and the difficulties around that. If you listened to last week's episode, my conversation with Alan, I spoke a little bit on that topic then, and you know, nothing's really changed from then. So it's just really, really difficult to know where we're going to be and to plan and do things around that. But I think, you know, there's definitely an upside here. It's going to be a fantastic opportunity for me to share the journey of setting up a new vegetable garden from scratch, and you know, really looking at the ground and looking at things like where the sun comes, where's exposed to wet rain and wind and things like that, because we've never gardened that garden. Even though we lived in that house for over a decade, we never gardened it. We used it as a, you know, most of it as a lawn, and we had a few hens there. You know, we did grow the occasional carrot, but really nothing compared to the scale that we'll be doing when we move back. So it's going to be a really interesting journey, and there's lots of positives to take out of it. I'm certainly not down on the whole journey and things like that. It's just at the moment, it's a really difficult time because, you know, my vegetable garden here is becoming overgrown with weeds, and I've just got no motivation to do anything about it. There really doesn't seem like a purpose to trying to bring it back because it's going to be left to get overgrown the second we leave. So it just seems silly to waste time and energy weeding it and looking after it in the meantime. So that's where we are with that. And there's so much to do that we are going to have to move. You know, we're going to be moving animal housing, we're going to be moving animals, we're going to be moving polytunnels, we're going to be moving lots and lots of containers that we've already got without adding to them by, you know, creating more by planting a load of broad beans or garlic in containers. Now, I think that would just be a curse that we'd wish we hadn't done later on. So that's kind of where we are with that. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the projects I've been doing and some of the upcoming projects that are still coming and what I have been doing with my time, and it really is quite exciting. Hi guys, I'm just very quickly interrupting the show to say please consider supporting it. If you'd like to consider supporting this one-man operation, there's lots of ways you can do it. One of the easiest of which is just to talk about it, to share it online, on your social media pages, or with friends. By growing this audience is one of the best ways that we can actually ensure that the show is sustainable. If you'd like to support it more directly, then please consider becoming a patron. You can do so by going to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. By becoming a patron, you help me to achieve things that I'd love to be able to do in the future, such as buying better equipment to increase the quality, allowing me to pay myself some time to spend on the podcast, again, increasing the quality of it, and also paying for things like transcription and show notes. If you would like to do that, please do consider going to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. Thank you. Everything you do to support this show is really appreciated. So some of the upcoming projects that we've got, I'm going to be trying to move as many perennials as I can. We've got things like an almond tree, a tomcod tree, some apples and pear trees that we've put in, and we're going to try and move them if we've got the space, if we've got somewhere for them to go. So we're going to be, I was going to be doing it this month with Adam from Gardener's Tale, but in light of my current condition with my family and COVID here, we've decided to put that back until the new year, which is, you know, I'm really grateful to Adam for that offer of doing it in the first place and then of rescheduling as well. So he's also going to be coming up on the show shortly to talk about propagation. So I'm really looking forward to that as well. So, you know, we've got lots of perennial moving that I think is going to be an interesting episode, you know, an episode of the YouTube channel and of course the podcast, because I'm going to be moving trees and it's not something I've got any experience with, and having someone who is experienced with that kind of thing is really beneficial. So we'll be talking a lot more about that. Also coming up, I'm going to be making pasta with proper pasta flour for the first time and making a video on that. We're going to be smoking meat here for the first time. I've recently built my very first smoker. So we've built that completely out of pallets. If you follow the YouTube channel, you might have seen the video where that's already been done. And we're going to start smoking some meat. So we're going to have our very own smoky bacon. I'm going to try smoking some fish and all those kinds of things. And this is a new world that's opened up to me. Now, smoking is something you can do to both flavor meat, obviously, but also preserve it. So it's, and vegetables. You can smoke vegetables, of course, you know, smoked garlic is fantastic. So we're going to be using that smoker to do all sorts of projects with, and I'm really excited about it, but it's a brand new world to me and one that I'm only just now very slowly starting to learn a little bit about. So that's really exciting. We're also going to be doing some leather work. I'm going to make some knife sheaths out of leather, so all very new to me. And I'm right in the middle at the moment of filming a 7-day video about how to make your very own sourdough starter. Today is day 4, I think. And that'll be going out next week. So if you've ever wanted to make sourdough, but for whatever reason you've not been able to get hold of a starter, you'll be able to make your own. It's really, really simple. It really is. And I'm producing a video all about that. And a lot of these projects, there'll be a sort of a podcast to accompany them. So that's all coming up. And the other things we've done, I've literally just finished before recording this episode, I have just sliced into bars my very first attempt at homemade soap, and it went really well. So I've made it out of predominantly goat's milk and also animal fats that we've rendered here. So there is also some coconut oil and some olive oil. So it's not all homegrown, but it's, you know, a large portion of it is. And I'm really, really thrilled about that. And you may or may not have seen the video by the time this goes out. They'll be coming out at roughly the same time. But yeah, I'm really thrilled to have added that to my list of things that I've now done. And super simple. I was very, very nervous going into it for some reason. I feel like soap making, there's kind of this... there's so much information, there's almost too much information, and whenever you start researching it, you can really get lost and go round in circles and tie yourselves in knots, and I did that for such a long time. I bought the sodium hydroxide, the lye, I bought that, the caustic soda, that's another word for it, over a year ago with a view to making goat's milk soap, and it's just sat there and sat there and sat there in our tractor shed, because... every time I've gone to do it, I've kind of thought, right, well, we don't have the right ingredients. Can I make my own? Can I change the ingredients? And you start diving into it, and it's almost like there's too much information. So I finally took the time to get my head around it all, and it is a bit simpler than it might appear. So if you want to try making soap, if you've never made soap before and you want to have a go at it, I think, you know, I've done an episode with people who make soap. And that was a recording, an interview that I did last year. I've also had videos on my website with Alan, again, from the Urban Homesteading UK podcast, who very, very kindly made me a soap making video almost a year ago now, just after I had my accident when I was really off the books and not able to do anything. And that was, I won't lie, that was 100%, honestly, one of the best resources for my project. I looked at lots of soap making videos, and many of them, because of what I wanted to do, I had a really clear vision of what I wanted to do. I wanted to use my own goat's milk, and I wanted to keep it really simple, but I wanted to understand the process. And of all the videos I watched, honestly, the video of Alan on my YouTube channel was, I think, the most helpful of all the ones I watched. So, yeah, there's a hell of a lot to learn, and I will be spending a bit more time learning a little bit more about it and expressing all of that information in, hopefully, what will be a digestible fashion here on the podcast at a later date. But I definitely filmed that project, and like I say, you can watch that on the YouTube channel as well. So loads and loads of fun little projects. Now, the only other thing I want to mention is that we have got potentially a huge project coming up that I will be sharing with you. When we move house, we are probably going to be doing some building work. We're going to be doing things like taking out supporting walls and, you know, some really quite fun stuff and buildery stuff. And I'm going to be able to show you everything you need to know about that and teach you how to do that for yourself. You know, we're going to be possibly building a little extension, we're going to be maybe building a little porch, we're going to be maybe, we're not sure yet, putting, you know, new kitchen cabinets in and things like that. Now, we're doing everything on a really, really tight budget, like incredibly tight. So everything I will be doing myself. And beyond that, I'll be learning some new skills. So, you know, where we're going to be altering things like electric sockets, we're going to be putting some more electric sockets in. I'm going to be doing all of that myself. I will obviously have the guidance of a professional electrician to kind of help me if I need it. And the same with the plumbing. You know, we'll be doing some plumbing work ourselves, and we're going to be covering all of that here on the podcast, but also on YouTube. So if you ever wanted to learn how do you put an RSJ in, RSJ stands for reinforced steel joist, a girder, a big piece of steel, how do you put one of those in and have it support a wall, then that might be the series for you. So loads and loads of exciting things coming up. I am starting to feel a bit better now, as is the rest of my family, and it'll be back to work for me before I know it. So that brings you up to speed with where we are. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I will speak to you next week. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.